Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her mother, who had been gone for decades, suddenly appeared one night, radiant and smiling. But what she did and what happened days later raises the question. Was she comforting? Or was she preparing?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, that it is. Welcome to the program. 855-853-4802 is our phone number if you want to share your real ghost stories with us, or you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave us a review there. We do appreciate it. Helps us be discovered in the rankings, and it's just the nice thing to do. Okay. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Tony, Todd, Carol, we're all here with you today. We are still in holiday purgatory.
On another episode, Tony was calling it purgatory season.
Yeah. It kind of feels like that. But anyway, what's going on with you guys?
For me, it's not all that different, to be honest, because I'm working. I kind of just do my shopping online, get the gifts sent out.
Yeah.
So I haven't really done much Christmassy stuff other than I have a Christmas play that I'm at frequently that I wrote. So that's been kind of fun. Oh, and I'll just say this. I think we had 23 performances and they sold out.
Oh, wow. Well, that's great.
You're
bringing holiday joy to the masses.
Yes.
You're balancing things out between Tony's crankiness for the holidays. I don't even celebrate anymore, to be honest with you. Now that my parents are gone and stuff, I used to kind of, you know, I like to decorate and stuff like that. Sure. And I like retro stuff. So I always had the big bulbs on the tinsel tree and all that kind of crap. I haven't put a tree up in several years, and I could, you know, really care less about it, to be honest with you. Yeah. Just the another joy. Day.
Yeah. I didn't used to put up a tree, and I started a few years ago, and I enjoy it.
Is there a tree behind you back there? What is that?
That's a plant. That's just a regular old plant.
Next week, can I have a little Christmas tree back there for us, please?
Okay, I can arrange.
I have some. Yeah. I got a tree up. I've decorated thoroughly throughout the house.
Do a good job of that.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking the whole time, it's like, and I'm going to have to take all this down in like 4 weeks.
Here's the thing. You have a kid and you should decorate.
Well, I do. And I do love doing it. And actually I do put it up early. So, I mean, it was up like Thanksgiving time. So I was like, cause it does feel like so quick. Like if you're doing it at like the beginning of December, like might as well get it in like right after Thanksgiving, then you can enjoy it longer. I feel the same way about Halloween. Start decorating around Easter for Halloween. And then you're good.
I know that's bullshit. Cause there was a year not that long ago where you were literally, and I was surprised by this, but it was like July and they were bringing out Halloween stuff and you went on a rant about how horrible that was. And I'm thinking, but we like Halloween. Yeah, but it's too early. It's too early. So I think maybe that was the start of you getting to be old crotchety old Scrooge. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't mind it that, I don't know. I'm okay with it coming out early, but at least have it available in October. Because there's At Home, that's the name of a store. There's one like right down the road here. And I go in there and it's like June, there's Halloween stuff out. I'm like, oh, cool. Like I like looking at it. Feels a bit early, but okay. But then by the time I go in there at like the beginning of October, like all the aisles that were Halloween are all Christmas. And like, well, now is the time I want to get stuff. I'm not in the mood to be buying, you know, skull lamps, you know, 4th of July, you know, but when it's Halloween time, I want to get some skull lamps to line my house with. And now I don't have any. Now I just have to buy a bunch of Santa Clauses. And that just doesn't quite seem, that would be kind of creepy.
I have to tell you that was the instance you were talking about just now that you brought up with me like a year ago or 2 years ago or something. It was the home store.
Yeah, that was exactly.
Tony, but we should start doing is celebrating the holidays as the stores have them set up. So if they put out Halloween in July, that's when we frickin' celebrate it. And then when Christmas comes out in like September, October, then frick it, we're putting up the tree. And Christmas, I'm sure they're going to have like, what would come out? Valentine's Day crap, probably.
Immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, you go into the stores, I mean, by New Year's, it's Valentine's Day stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was something that when I worked in retail, it was like by the end of the day on New Year's Day, you better have like that particular aisle set aside already, ready to go.
Yeah.
You worked in retail?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Didn't know that. That's awesome.
No, it's really not. I still have nightmares about the shit, but yeah.
I did it for like a year. I worked at it was like this really creepy old store, but I needed a job and I could work there. But the weird thing was, I swear the place was haunted. But during the time I worked there, the manager had a nervous breakdown. And so she had this weird office that was right by the cash registers. No walls. It was just up a few steps. And she could look over the whole store. It was like an old, like kind of a 1940s layout. It was a really old store. And as she was slowly having this breakdown, it got weirder and weirder. And she just would stare. And then, like, she might turn and stare at you.
Oh, my God. That's creepy.
I'm like, something is wrong with our boss. Like, she's been sitting there for 4 hours. She hasn't moved. It was very strange.
Did somebody intervene at some point, or did she just, like, tip over?
No, I don't remember now how it got resolved. She did end up going into treatment.
Okay.
And I don't remember if she came back or not, or if I graduated from community college and moved here. I don't remember that part as a long time ago, but it was really strange because it just felt very kind of paranormal.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost like, is she possessed?
She would say weird things that made no sense.
Maybe she was.
And things were happening that weren't happening. It was just very weird. So that's my experience with retail.
Wow.
Yeah.
The only time I've worked outside of radio or podcasting was a 3 month stint between gigs. Although I was simultaneously, I think, working in radio at the same time too, to some extent. I worked for Sprint for a 3 month period.
How did I never know that?
I don't talk about these days. it was very traumatic. I had to like be outside of a studio and I don't do that. And I really hated it. It was indirect sales for the markets of Sheboygan and Manitowoc, Wisconsin. I was overseeing basically all of the like mall kiosks and all the little kiosks that you used to see that would sell cell phones back in the early 90s or early 2000s.
Yep.
And so that was the market. And by the way, they didn't have coverage there very well at all. So you're trying to sell this product that basically sucks and the other Verizon's doing great. And you know what? I didn't have to like be there like physically selling. I was overseeing people who were doing it. And you know what? I probably couldn't have done it to save my life because it's just not my wheelhouse to do that. And more power to anyone who can. I fucking hate the idea.
Oh, I'm horrible at it.
I'm not good at it. I hate it. So I wasn't great at the job, but I knew I had 3 months of guaranteed pay in an expense account. So I would go over to Sheboygan, and then I'd go and like take a rep or like whoever was like manning one of these things, like if it was like the Radio Shack people or whatever, or the mall people. And then I'd just take him out for lunch every day. And so I went to lunch at, if you've heard of Kohler. That's the toilet company. It's an actual town, and it's a very high-end, ritzy town. There's like a PGA golf course there. It's a very beautiful area and a lot of high-end restaurants. Not exactly the type you'd be taking your mall Sprint cell phone kiosk reps to for lunch. But I did.
But you did. How did that go over with your bosses?
Well, I only had 3 months of guaranteed pay. So by the time those expense reports came out, it was like, why are you taking them to the American Club for like, it was like you know, like $100 lunches and shit. like it's supposed to be going to like Arby's.
By the way, the sales are in the gutter.
Yeah, they're horrible. Right. They were horrible. But everybody ate really well for those 3 months. I was
damn
there.
It, Tony, then you did your job. If you took care exactly. of the employees, fuck the company.
That's right. I kind of viewed it as like in radio, like when the record reps came to town. I'm like, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's exactly it.
Yep. So that was that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first call of the day and hear a real ghost story.
This is Darlene. I'm calling from Whitehall, PA. And I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 weeks now. It is unbelievable. I love it. My day at work goes so much faster, and I don't sing well, so they're happy I'm listening to my spooky stories now when I work. Apparently, I sing out loud and not very good. So anyway, I would like to tell you a story. It's not scary. It's a little emotional. It's about a visit I had from my mom. My parents, I lost my dad in 1969, and I lost my mom in 1978, so it's been quite a while. I truly believe my parents do look after myself and my son. We had a dog that was about 11 and a half years old. He was a bigger dog, about 100 pounds, and he had always slept on the bed with me. And as he got older, I used to put his blankie on the floor for him and lay it next to my bed, and I would pet him. Now, this was back in 2005. Yeah, like I said, he was eating, he was playing, but he couldn't jump up on the bed any longer. And then one night, I dreamt that I was sleeping and that I rolled over. And when I rolled over, my mom was standing there, and she was petting our dog, who at that time was sitting up for her. And she's petting him with so much love and smiling. And all I could do was say, oh, Mom, she looks so beautiful. It was amazing. And I kind of just laid there in awe looking at her. And she's petting my dog with so much love. And finally, she says to me, does he always sleep by you? And I just shook my head. I was just looking at her. She was so beautiful. And it felt so good to see her. And when I shook my head yes, she gave my dog a hug, a big pat. And she smiled and she turned around and she was gone. Well, my dog hadn't been sick. I did wake up the next day, and when I woke up, I told my husband, I said, I had a visit from my mom. And I said, I hope everything is okay. I hope it didn't mean anything. Well, about a week and a half went by, and my dog had stopped eating, drinking, and just losing weight and laying around. And 2 weeks after that dream or visit, I had to put my dog down. and it was very unexpected because he hadn't been sick. And it's very difficult to do that. I don't know if either one of you's had pets, but that's a horrible, horrible thing to do. But with my mom's visit, I found I could honestly look at him and say, Grammy's going to meet you there. Even though she didn't know my dog, I knew she was going to meet him there and he was not going to be alone. So that kind of comforted me that my mom gave a visit like that. I think she was preparing me a little bit for it, and it did help. So about a month or so went by, and I did not want another dog yet. I felt guilty. And then one night, my husband comes home, and he says, I have to tell you something. He says, we're getting a dog. I said, yeah, I know. I can't just yet. I can't do that. And he goes, no, we're getting a dog tonight. I ordered one. Well, Yuri got a hold of a breeder, and we went out. And, of course, I fell in love with this little puppy. And I asked the breeder when the dog's birthday was. And the breeder said September 23rd, of course, 2005. We get in the car, and I looked at Warren. I said, you know what September 23rd is? And, of course, he didn't. And I said, that's the day my mom had passed over. And no, Tony, I'm not saying my dog was my mom. Come back, reincarnate it. I just took that as another sign that my mom was still watching over us. I mean, to me, that's more than a coincidence. So I just wanted to share my story, my visit. I know it's not scary, but if anyone's ever afraid of passing over or going toward the light, I truly believe there is someone there to meet you. And I know there is an afterlife, and it can be good. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I thank you guys so much for everything you do. Have a good day.
Boy, you could really hear the...
Oh, that got me.
Yeah, the emotion in her voice as Tony has Belle with him now.
I know.
Yes. She is so cute. See, if you watch us on YouTube, you get to see Animal Show and Tell.
Oh, she's so damn cute, isn't she?
Oh, she is. She's a teddy bear. I mean, she just looks like... She looks like a teddy bear.
She does.
What's the Ralph Lauren? Somebody pointed it out the other day. If I put like a blue sweater on her, she'd be like the Ralph Lauren teddy bear.
Oh.
I'm not sure I know what that is.
Look it up. You'll see it. Like, I didn't recognize it. I'm like, oh, I think I've seen that before.
I'm looking right now. Once I found it,
yeah.
I thought that was quite incredible that she has that experience with her mother and it sounded like it really happened, but I think it was in a dream.
Yeah.
That she sees her mom and her mom's making over the dog. Does the dog sleep with you every night? And, you know, mom looks so at peace, and then to have the dog get sick right after that. And even the next day she said to her husband, I hope that doesn't mean anything bad's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, like, the worst thing did happen.
Yeah.
Which got me in the heart.
But the fact that the dog was born on the day her mom, I mean, there's a nice connection there. Whether you want to say it's supernatural or paranormal or whatever, it doesn't really matter. The mm-hmm. fact of it is, it's a really sweet story.
But, you know, there's 365 days in the year, and the odds of it being on that day... One in 365. But I just find that pretty profound. I would take it the exact same way she did.
Yeah, I would too.
I would too. And then if you told that story to a bunch of Lutherans in Wisconsin, they'd be like, you know, animals don't have souls. They don't go to heaven or hell. So they just die.
Do they really say that in the Lutheran church?
I remember any time it was like always really inopportune timing. And it's like, why are you saying that? Like when I get older, I'm like, this is fucking weird that people talk like this. I don't know if it's just Lutherans or my family. But I do remember like the topic of like, you know, animals passing and things like that. And it was more than just my family. I remember like it being brought up, like even in school. And I went to like a Christian grade school, a Lutheran one. And it was like, well, animals don't have souls. So they don't go to heaven. It's like, why are we even like addressing this? Like, why, you know, like just, are we just like, it's like, you're just kind of grasping something out of the air. And then like, we're going to say this to a bunch of little children, yeah. You know, when their pets die, like, what are you like, what exactly is the goal here with this? You know,
I think the church wasn't because basically saying the animals didn't have souls. The church basically is there to crush your soul is basically yes. Why it's there.
It's pretty much.
Now, like, I was brought up. I was brought up Lutheran. I never heard that before. So I'm glad that I did not get taught that because that would have broken my heart.
Oh, I know. Well, I even like as an adult, like Google or like I wikied or I looked it up in some way, shape or form. So I'm like, what does it actually say? And there isn't really a reference to it either. It's like some weird interpretations here or there. Hmm. And it's like, oh, so it's again, never really addressed, but some jackass said, let's go tell the kids this shit.
That'll keep that'll keep the kids in line. We'll crush their souls with these stories of dead animals that don't live beyond the grave. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's Skippy, I'm so sorry your puppy died or your kitten died. That's horrible. You know, they're not going to heaven, right?
You'll never see them again.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll never see them. It's like, okay, well.
You'll just have to get another one.
The recipes that make people. That's a fucking ingredient right there. Let's go to another ghost story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, this is Glenna. I've called you a couple other times. Thought I'd tell you this story too. Have you ever heard of somebody predicting their own death? Well, I was good friends with this girl named Sherry. She was a little bit younger, and she was the baby of the family. But I would go over and visit her all the time. She didn't live too far away and stay some time with her. But one day we were sitting in the back bedroom and she goes, Glenna, do you believe, if I told you there was a ghost in here, would you be scared? And I'm like, no, why? She says, I was sitting here on the bed by myself and all of a sudden something smacked me really, really hard in my back. I said, really? I said, what happened after that? She says, it hurt, but then it went away. Well, we discussed it a little bit, but we just pushed it off. Well, she actually got involved with some wild people, and I didn't get to hang around for as much, considering I was supposedly four corners square, you know, don't get into trouble business. But later on, this is the very first time that my mom and dad would let my sister, me, and my brother ride to Kentucky by ourselves. And they would follow behind us because most of our relatives live in Kentucky. Well, just before we got in my sister's car, here comes Sherry down the road. Say, hi, how you doing and everything? I'm so glad to see you. It's been a little while. She's like, yeah, what you guys doing? We're going to Kentucky. She goes, oh, please, can I go? I'm like, I'd love for you to go, but we don't have permission for your mom and dad. And all of a sudden, I heard this word say, no. And I'm like, I just heard no. And I'm like, Sherry, I'm sorry, sweetie. We got to get going. But maybe some other time we could do that. And she goes, oh, okay. And she walks on down the road. And We spent our week in Kentucky and come back. Mom was all upset. She goes, what's wrong? She says, I just got some news. Sherry's dead. And I said, what? What's going on? She says, somebody shot her in the back. And I said, no, that's not true. She said, yes, I was told somebody shot her in her back. So I should say, it's still upsetting too. She was such a beautiful young girl, but she predicted her own death. And it's just kind of spooky, but not if that makes any sense. But thank you for listening, and I like your show. Bye-bye.
Do you think that was foreshadowing of her own death?
Man, I mean, it's hard to say yes or no to anything like that. But yeah. Again, it's a pretty freaky coincidence, don't you think?
Yeah.
What if every week you just predict your own death? Eventually it happens.
So you'd be like, how?
He predicted his own death 358 times, you know.
Until he finally got it right.
Until he finally died. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd have to know more of the frequency as to which death is predicted. My grandma, when she was alive, would talk about dying all the time for like 20 years.
She did?
Yes. I mean,
grandma.
It would always be like about, well, you know, it'd be something about death. And, I mean, eventually she died. It was actually just 13 years ago, like yesterday or something. Oh, wow. And I mean, it was like, wow, holy shit, that was 13 years ago. But I mean, she was around for, you know, I was in my, you know, in my 30s when she passed.
We were working together then.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. So I'm a good, you know, all those years growing up, I just remember she'd always kind of have a disposition about death. So if she died like the next week, I guess one could say, did she predict her own death?
But in this case,
some people talk about that a lot.
This weird,
yeah,
feeling in her back and like, ow, yeah, what was that? But it was nothing. And yes, maybe she had some weird back spasm or something.
If it's not part of the norm, without a doubt, that is weird. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
But if it's a pattern of, you know, there's something wrong, I'm dying, I don't know. I guess I just have to know more. But, you know, if it is kind of out there, yeah. I mean, like, if you or me or anybody started talking about like that, I think it would be a weird outlier.
Well, there's lots of stories about people doing something, because in my case, and it's a really long story, Todd, we're not getting into it today, but I dated a guy who died. And he reached out to me. We were not on speaking terms. We were not dating at that time. And he reached out to me. He's like, I just want to talk to you. And looking back on it, it was like a weird feeling he must have had that he needed to connect with me to help him with something, because he died 3 weeks later. And so I think sometimes you might get an urge like to, oh, I've got to reach out to that person, because you hear stories like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's that in her case, I can't say she predicted her own death.
Mm-hmm. She just kind of seemed to know
something happened.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. She knew something was up.
Yeah.
But didn't know what. It's like when you get diphtheria on Oregon Trail, or distemper, or whatever the fuck you get. You know, it's like something's up here.
I don't think it's distemper.
I don't know what is it. What's the thing on Oregon Trail everybody gets?
It's
dysentery.
Dysentery.
That's an old timey disease. Dysentery.
Dysentery. Dysentery and scurvy. Those are the common ones. Yeah. All right.
Distemper is what your dog gets.
Exactly. Oh, that, you never know. If you're really close with your dog, you get distemper and fleas at the same time. If you want access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, check that out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online or Apple Podcasts. You can check it out there. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. but I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.